start the tape.
Is Joel not coming?
He's here.
He's not. Hi, Joel.
Florida Joel.
Okay, so it's 6:05. I'm calling the March Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional to order. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay, so that's item two, executive session. Do we need to go in?
Yes, or personnel.
Motion to go into executive session for personnel. That.
So that's Ian and Tim. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that was unanimous. Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are back in open session here, ready for item three, the consent agenda. Do we have any comments on the what? Four sets of minutes here.
That was a lot.
There wasn't a lot of notes on three of those because it was all executive.
Yeah, session. Nothing to note.
Okay, how about the check register? Want to start here with you, Tim?
Yeah, I had a couple on here. It was around check 30065. It was one from Verizon, and it just said H5500.
It is the old vehicle tracking system, and it's the there will actually be one more check, but it was the...
Okay, because it ties to the next one that I have on here, where it's talking about vehicle tracking for Verizon.
Yep.
And that comes out to about $5,000 a year, what we're paying to track the vehicles.
So the one is going away, and the other one becomes the new one.
The new one is like $400-some a month, and I just multiplied that by 12, and... Bingo, I got $5,000. And so
it's about the same.
Is it in the judgment of the district that $5,000 a year is going to somehow pay itself off in great dividends at some point?
We get speeding alerts from it. We get out of district alerts from it. We can also know where all the vehicles are, including the dump trucks. So there's a few more vehicles than we had originally on it.
Didn't we use it in the accusation about the Lost Canyon folks?
So it was used in the
payoff
in the incident over the last summer.
Do you think it's excessive? To be doing that?
No, I just say that it's $5,000 on the end of that. If I take a look at that, and it's in your estimation that's money well spent.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it saves trips from Anna's standpoint. She can. Save vehicle trips and that kind of stuff.
Okay, anything else?
On one of the checks, there was three checks for a skid steer, and it said that it was the yearly cost for the skid steer. Do we have three skid steers, or are we paying for one that has some attachments on it that costs an additional amount?
That's the split between departments, because Lost Canyon takes part of the cost and distribution and the treatment plan, because they'll kind of share it. So the total cost, I think, is $6,500. And so the split is just how much is allocated to each department.
Yeah, because it's $3,000.
Okay.
And just so add those together, and yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
And then the wildlife mitigation payment to Utah State. So is there other entities that you know of that are also paying Utah State? So we just got into this agreement where they were going to do this work, and certain entities were going to pay them when they got an invoice from them, or is it a monthly amount that we're paying?
There was a set amount of about $12,000 that is split between four parties.
And then Utah State invoices us monthly for
Utah State
amount.
Invoices us, and then we invoice the other party.
Okay. That's it.
All right, thank you. Ian?
Okay, I had a couple. Nickerson, the two replacement pumps that Lost Canyon Shallow. We've done some other work there recently. Are we continuing to have issues with pumps? Are pumps going down? Or were the pumps pulled and then now they're just going back in?
Those are backups. They're spares.
Oh, okay, so we just bought spares. So we did that other work to get it all up to go, like up exactly. and running, and now these are just... Okay, got it. Western Water Works, the description for the item is just clamps. I'm assuming they're like a specialized clamp.
Our repair clamp... You probably know better than me, but
Maybe not.
Okay, so different pipe sizes, and so there's lots of sizes, but we usually just call them repair clamps.
So the ones that go on the pipe for, okay.
So I'm sure Sharon just described, there were probably several sizes, so you just described them as clamps.
It's like a Band-Aid. It'll go around. It's got a stainless steel outer with a rubber liner, and they'll clamp it over the pipe where there's a small.
I think if it said a little bit of that, I wouldn't even ask about it. Just
I'll want to make sure to put repair clamps. At least that makes a little more sense.
Okay. Aqua Engineering. There was two invoices in 1 month for Summit Park Tank Number 1. Was that just two invoices hit in the same month?
Yeah,
it's not like they're building
on
some off cycle.
They're not super consistent on a 30-day
plan. Now, are they moving ahead with their design to completion? Or are they going to be dragging
it
to
that?
Yep.
Okay.
That's in the, then I've got a Tim Doherty question. Approved GM job description. There was $100 in and $100 out.
We'd originally written checks for that board meeting. Okay. Sharon had put in that description asking. And then we decided we didn't want to send checks out with that as the description. It was a board meeting, so we just put the board meeting date.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a... Unfortunately, once we post, we have to void...
Well, hey, kudos to you guys for doing that. So, very transparent. Good. And then... National benefits, there was a claim paid. Was that for the Summit Park flood?
That's actually our health insurance HSA third-party manager.
Oh, okay.
So there were two payments in a month. Usually they're just one for what everybody put in of into their own HSA. We had a new employee starting insurance, so that's why there was a second payment kind of to pay their...
We also pay just a monthly service fee to them.
Yeah. But I'm thinking you're probably talking about the $2,750 and the $2,400 or something.
1949-28 LFSA claims paid.
So those are... we have a limited FSA account. So when claims come through on that FSA account, then we cut the check. But the funds have already been.
And what are the claims that come in on the FSA?
Oh, it's a limited FSA. Like, I have one. So it's just for vision and dental.
Oh, it's the... Okay, that...
Since I have an HSA account, I can't have an HSA and an FSA, but you can have a limited that just does vision.
I'm more familiar with the HSA.
So that's actually my son's orthodontist.
If you really want to know.
Good job. All right. That's it for me.
Okay, and Steve already knew I was going to ask this, but it was the VFD service.
I told him in the meeting this morning he's got two acronyms in a total of five words. We're going to get asked.
Variable frequency drive and
the treatment plan.
Okay. You good?
Yep.
Thank you, guys. Joel, did you have anything?
No, he's shaking his head no.
Okay. Do we have any purchase orders?
Not this month.
Okay, then we're ready for a motion to approve the consent agenda, please.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Tim and Ian, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Joel says aye.
Okay, thanks, you guys. Item 4, Mr. Anderson, you got a financial update for us?
Yes. So revenue is above budget at this point in time by $148,000. That's almost all development-related collections. We'll get into that in a minute. And we are about $50,000 under on expenses. So we're doing about $200,000 better than budget so far this year. Go ahead and go down a little bit. Thanks, Chris. So you'll notice that almost everything is really close to budget. Retail water sales is about $19,000 over. Part of that is we had, maybe at the back of the report, I talked about a restrictive covenant that somebody paid in Summit Park, where if they put it on restrictive covenant, they can't build on it, but if they ever want to reverse that, they have to pay all the back standby fees and interest on those to make it fair for those who have been paying it all along. And that's about $13,000. So without that, we'd only be about $5,000 above budget on retail water.
And I had a question about that. So if there is a restrictive covenant for the standby fees, is there something recorded with the county so that if somebody was buying the property, they'd know about this $13,000 bogey? Yes. Okay.
Yep.
So going into why development-related collections is off a little, or over budget, Promontory sold the 11 lots to February, so that's generated about $57,000 in revenue. We'd only budgeted $24,600. The second is the meter connections. We've had a lot of meter connections come in, especially for Silver Creek, where they pay that, but they're not really paying the impact fee because they're using prepaids, but that's driving that meter connections to still be really high. Chris, if you go down just a little bit more, you'll notice that right now we're doing really well on our impact fee budget, that we've collected $127,000. Our budget was $120,000, so we're, let's hope we stay near that all year kind of thing. So that's good.
The budget was for $126,000. Or sorry, for 120 through this month?
Through January.
Okay, got it. Okay, yeah.
It was about 50 and 70. It isn't a smooth, we don't split $1.6 million because we know more comes in the summer.
You guys don't just put a trend line on stuff. Good job.
No. This would look really weird.
It would look like last year.
That office. expenses, we are under budget. Actually, on cash expenses, we were more under budget. When I put together the budget last year with the 2012 bond we were paying off, we kind of had two opposing. We had an asset we were being able to amortize, a liability we were being able to depreciate kind of thing, and they offset. When I took out 2020, it only took out the good side, but we still have the refinancing side of that. So it's a non-cash expense. Go ahead and go down a little bit, Chris. I'll explain. So it's an amortization error, not a cash error. It doesn't impact the debt covenant ratios or anything like that. But this line that says interest expense, that's going to run over budget throughout the year. And then we'll just make a budget amendment. But again, it's an amortization. It's more of an accounting game, not really a cash issue for us. Operations, about $30,000 under budget. And non-OMR, about $36,000 under budget. I'm very happy with the depreciation number. As you know, we were creating a lot of assets during last year because we had to build all that community water and everything else that was going on. So you kind of have to do your best estimate when you budget in September and hope that things work out. So the fact that I'm roughly off about $2,100 a month, I'm very happy with it. Okay, let's go ahead and go down a little bit. Cash, our cash jumped up kind of for two reasons in February. We received, remember last year, we were selling a lot of water to Weber Basin. We received the last payment for last year's water in February. So that's about $478,000. The other reason is we took $400,000 out of impact fees to help pay for debt throughout the year. And so that also comes in to the general operating account. So that kind of drove the big increase of about $800,000. Because in these early months, we're basically running just cash neutral. What we bring in, we spend kind of thing. It's not till the summer we'll really make money. So that's why the increase there. You'll see the establishment of the Drought Reserve Fund, where we took the $800,000 out of regionalization reserves and put it in its own Drought Reserve account that we can specifically target for that. Okay, let's go ahead and go. Customer growth. We're at 40 so far this year, which is higher than the 4-year average, but you'll notice last year it was 57, so growth is still high, but not as high as last year. And Promontory on the far right have sold 11 units. Last year they've sold 18 at this point in time. So again, higher than the 4-year average, but the growth is slowing a little bit compared to last year from what we can see. Water usage. Let's just jump to the year numbers. So for 2021, you'd see our customers have used 164 acre feet. So far this year, they've used 168, so pretty close. Park City is taking more water. Last year, they'd only taken 360, as near as we can tell, acre feet, and this year they're at 482. And Summit Water, since they're dropping from 1,100 acre feet last year to 700 acre feet, you can see the corresponding drop in how much they've taken in the first couple of months.
Question on the total acre feet. So we're at 168 so far for 2022. That's above, you know, not a ton, but it is above where we were for 2021. Based on the growth that we've had so far, Can you do a calc of like acre feet to total number of customers and see if we're using less per person?
Yeah, I did not do that, but I can pretty easily.
I'm really concerned about some of the numbers that are coming up. Obviously, we'll talk about later. So that would be interesting to see what our trends are like, and if you could tease that out more for last year as well. I mean, I know you shared some of the details between like 3,000 square feet and above houses, and so just to see where we are through the year, because I think we're going to need a pulse going forward.
Yeah, cool. I think some of that increase is also due to people that had second homes that are now full-time residents.
Exactly.
Right? Like that's a big chunk of it.
So I'm hoping
you have
it
broken out by large residential townhome.
Yeah, but I don't put that in.
Oh, you don't have that in this one. Okay.
I show
and then you could look at total usage per ERC connections. I mean, you could do it really quick. It's just, we don't have it in
that. Next month. Through the first quarter.
Yeah. It'd be interesting just so we've got like a gauge like where we're at, because it seemed like last year some from those details, like broken out the way you were talking about, we could see that certain users were kind of following the 20% reduction thing, but then others weren't. So interesting to see how that plays out this year.
Yeah, the residential users were being much more conscientious than the large residential users.
Yep.
That's kind of what we were showing last year.
Remember that.
It'll be part of next month's report then.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Can I ask another question? Like, how can the golf course be using a million gallons of water in winter time?
Steve, did you go back and look? I told him to take it out because this isn't. We don't normally report promontory because they're not using any. This is Mountain Regional's back wash into the pond or what is that?
Yeah, okay. The treatment plant. So during the winter, we change a rate that we charge promontory water for to a non-charging rate because we know usually when we send water off the Mountain Road pond, it says they're going to use it for the golf course.
Yeah.
This time of year, we just have to send it, even if they're not going to use it.
Okay.
So it still tracks how much we send.
Okay.
But it's not.
They're just not built for it.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like something that might be illegal.
Lisa tried to get you to hide that column, I think.
But there could be usage if they refill the saddle pond or beach club pond after snowmaking.
Yeah.
From snowmaking.
Okay, so the Tubing Hill water is from the golf water.
Yeah, it's the same golf water.
Yeah.
And where's, so you're passing it there, regardless of whether they take it or not. Where does it go if they don't take it?
Mount Garden Pond, right?
What do you mean if they don't take it?
Like,
if it's not being used,
it goes being recirculated through the plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just goes back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's wastewater that from the process that gets pumped as irrigation water to promontory.
Oh, got it. Sorry, I missed that part. All right.
Yeah.
It's helpful for us, for our treatment plant operation, to be able to do that. So it's a benefit to the district.
It's critical.
Cool. We got a question. So I'm glad I left that in there because it's probably a really good question.
That was a good discussion. Good job.
Yeah. All right. If you go, you could add a little more, Chris. So this is kind of a little bit to your question, Ian. So last year, you'll see the green line because the auditor in some of the questions she's asking about why the drop in usage. And I told her, well, we were tracking last year very much to historical years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the green line, how it really dropped in August when it rained and conservation actually kicked in and kind of maintained kind of low for the customer account. So just kind of back to that where we saw a ticket, but we'll show you some more. So for the purple line this year, we are above previous years. That's about $30,000 to $40,000, and that's basically base and a little.
And I don't think it's obviously a bad thing if we're above historic for usage based on our growth, but interested in what it is per person.
And I think we got one last page. So this was just the breakdown by customer class. So very close overall. I was probably a little over budgeted for residential, but that's maybe a little more in commercial. Overall, they kind of all equal out. And then you see the standby fees where we were $18,000 over budget, but a lot of that was that $13,000 restricted covenant that came in. But I think it's looking pretty good, our kind of our standard January, February. If there's any questions, and we'll do some more reporting next week.
Thank you for
doing that. Thanks, Steve. Okay, item five. GM comments.
We'll just do a drought update. Can you pull up that website, Chris? So this is where we are today. This is that snow water equivalent graph we looked at last month. And you can see from the flat line, we did take a few steps up after these last few rounds of storms in March. So it's helping, but it's, you know, a little too little too late, maybe, is what we should be saying. So is the soil moisture down there below it, Chris? The soil, but, you know, this is not a great picture. It's better than a continuing flatlining, but if you go down...
Which one is average? Which one?
I think it's the green one. Let's go back to that one.
Yes.
The green.
The green line. That's your median value. Yeah. That's a medium peak.
So we're a little far away from that with a couple weeks left.
So
but I like where you're going with the soil moisture.
Yeah. So this doesn't look great. But below that on Weber Basin, on that maybe...
Yeah, I don't know where... It's not the same page we had this morning when we were looking at it.
So if you do Weber Basin dot or Weber Basin dot or what, drought something.
Oh, are we going to get something set up on our webpage?
Yeah.
The drought page?
Uh-huh. We've already started to put... to populate some things on there. So I think in conservate, public resources. Okay. Customer service.
Yeah, where?
Drought.
There's drought.
And then go down. There it is.
There it is.
And then if you keep going down, here's the soil moisture, which is good, you know. The green line is average. You can see we were well above because of that rain, the late rain we had in the fall, and we're still trending in a good direction there. So I think that will help considerably with the runoff.
We needed to keep climbing until the snowpack goes off.
Because
once it's maxed for the season, the past couple of years, it just plummeted.
Cliffs.
And that's what that new red line is. We've been in-cutting that the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's really critical that we keep adding to the soil moisture like the next like 2 months. So.
Okay. If you go one more down, Chris, I think that might be the drought monitor page. Yeah. So this is where, what is this, as of March 3rd, what the state's looking like for the drought levels. It looks a little bit better than this time last year, but like I said, we needed an above average snowpack to make any ground, so I don't think we're going to be making a lot of ground. So in light of all those things, Weber Basin sent out that letter that I forwarded on to you about the restrictions. You can bring up my memo now. And
it was a planning letter. It said, hey, here's what we're gonna do. It was hey, get ready for this.
Yeah. And I've talked to Darren Hess twice since then, and they emailed again today. So we're definitely keeping in, we're keeping in close contact and communications with them. I do have some updates. So we received this letter on March 7th. And I put this a little bit of a timeline together on what the next steps are, where we go from here. So Weber Basin has a customer agency meeting to determine the final level of restrictions that is actually now scheduled for April 6th. I got another email today that Weber Basin is holding a financial drought considerations presentation for a two-hour presentation on a Friday, April 15th, with Lewis Young in Birmingham, which is a equivalent to a Zions. So they're going to, providing this resource to their customers to say, okay, likely we're at level four. Let's say we are at level four, based on the April 6th meeting. How can your districts help recover revenue? How are you going to handle this?
Right, if they don't have cash like we do.
Yeah. So Steve and I will attend that on the 15th.
Finance it.
Then it's to get into, if it is a level four and we start to move into needing to adopt these drought rates, then that in order to kick off the process, we would need to notice a public hearing, which would be April 18th. And then we would have our administrative control board meeting, our next April meeting on April 21st, to discuss what those drought rates will look like. Steve will work through the session on that. And that will,
so what does it mean to notice it?
That just means we need to notice that we're going to have a hearing. So the bullet after, we have to notice at least 7 days prior to having a hearing. So after we have a board meeting on the 21st.
I got you. It's just add or whatever, but it's okay. Yeah.
Then we would have a public hearing to adopt those drought surcharges, which we would hold at a place where public could come and have discussion. And that's just to say, this is what we're proposing that will be adopted. There can be public comment. That'll have to be a 6 p.m. meeting. It has to be held as a public hearing after 6 p.m. Then there's a 30-day period where there could be more comment. We could decide what we wanted to do, but they wouldn't go into effect. We have to wait a 30-day window before those could actually go into effect. So they actually couldn't go into effect until June 1st, which would be,
July.
It would actually end up being the July billing because you start on June 1st. And really, essentially, the majority of irrigation doesn't start until June anyway. So I think it does differ slightly from what our drought response plan says. That does mention a May usage. But with the requirements from being noticed by Weber Basin, giving our public 30 days notice, there's no way we could hit a May 1 date. So we're targeting June 1st.
It feels like there might be a public outreach step in there before giving public notice.
I think at this meeting, at the April 21st, this is, or we can do something sooner if you want to do, it's just, everything is so condensed with them letting us know exactly what those restrictions are, trying to meet my noticing deadlines, and trying to work with everyone on.
I mean, I think the public outreach kind of happens when the notice of public hearing goes out, right? Like, that's when you can...
That'd be the trigger, yeah.
Yeah, that's when everything kind of starts, is public-facing, right? That's when you have enough information to...
Except we haven't technically had our board meeting to go through what the actual results are.
But I think what Mike might be getting to is, the warning flag, right? Like, that there's... This is coming.
If we have a drought response plan...
People reading the public notices page.
Right. Yeah, right. You're saying beyond just that, but I'm saying that's when you could start doing it.
But I think, like, I've certainly been watching the news, and it's been covered pretty widely on the Salt Lake News. I think we could even, share the Weber Basin letter with the Park Record or with...
on our KBCW.
Yeah, KBCW, so that people, I was just... like a cheer banquet, and somebody was talking about putting in their landscaping, and I'm like, you're not gonna be putting your landscaping this year.
You better get going.
The landscape companies are out buying trees.
I just think it's for planning purposes, if I was getting ready to invest $100,000 in my yard, I would want to know that there was gonna be a restriction on there.
That's a good point.
Well, hopefully they've been watching, and they're not. Could we do the planning letter? Could that just go out to all the customers, and we're telling them, we're going to notice and give them this timeline?
We could do it on our April bill, or our March bill that goes out April 1st. Put it on our website. This is our drought response plan. This is what it lists in there in the appendix what the drought rate surcharges will be. We'll be discussing this at our April 21st board meeting and holding a public hearing on April 28th. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to buy your rain barrel. Because I've been pushing those.
See, I tried to buy a rain barrel last year and they sold out.
You should go right now.
Did you get the notice? Did you sign up on the
website? I saw it on the...
Let's move on.
I have not yet.
So that all sounds good. We'll start making those, you know. Preparations and letting the public know what our intentions are coming in April.
I think that's good. Okay.
Okay. And these are things, but this is what we've initially talked about. I just want to highlight some of the things in our drought response plan that we will be looking to probably start instituting with this, which we would have to update our fines and penalties. We've been talking about doing a first warning it's in the drought plan. As the first offense is a warning, the second offense is a $150 fine, and the third offense would be a $1,000 fine, where right now our levels creep up very slowly. It goes like 100, 150, but we want to make that a little more punitive, with the potential of a fourth offense being a suspension of service. Weber Basin, based on those what they're telling their customers, no installation of new landscapes, one day a week watering of lawns and gardens. We, in our drought response plan, recommend an address, and I think this is something that would be easy for our customers to understand. Depending on the last number of your address, then that would be the day that you water. So 0 to 1 Monday, 2 to 3 Tuesday, and so forth.
Are we looking to hire people to help with enforcement and facilitating this?
We are hiring another customer service person. I'm getting the posting out right now.
So we're going to do a lot of that virtually, just looking at records, not like driving around. Obviously.
Correct. I mean, the guys will be we started doing this last year. We had door hangers and flyers that we would leave at people's houses, notices about violations, but that is just going to have to continue more. And then we are going to have, we're bringing someone in that will literally sit with, you know, Steve will help, or this person will get to understand Castell, where they could just download those and see who's watering every day. We're seeing outdoor usage every day.
So, Lisa, hasn't the Administrative Control Board already adopted this drought response plan?
We did.
So,
but not at those punitive numbers.
But we have a rate schedule that we need to adopt in order to make what's in the drought response plan effective.
Is that drought specific?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it depends on what Weber Basin says the drought's going to be, and then we have to go in there, and it isn't a trigger by itself where you go in and say, okay, we got to do this based on what Weber Basin. Then the Administrative Control Board has to act on something at that point.
We have to hold a public hearing for the rates because it would be a change to our rates.
Okay.
Weber Basin is the trigger, though. And that's what she's got. Well, there's two different rates based on the cash.
Well, in the spirit of
the levels,
they
drop 60 or 90%.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Just one last thing on that is when we have these public hearings, if we go in there and we say that we're going to have these kind of penalties, and we have public testimony where they come up and they say, we think it's too high. Is the Administrative Control Board supposed to then go in there and say, well, we think it's too high, too, based on public testimony?
You can take public comment. You don't need to respond directly to them, you know, during the public meeting. But you could take that feedback and then, in those next 30 days, decide that something else potentially could get initiated. If you got feedback that those rates were too high,
think
thought
got a
it was too
idea.
Punitive, yeah, we
big,
can take all that
big,
feedback.
Big trainload of money.
When Margaret did the training for us the other night, she mentioned that Chris is really good at dealing with that type of public comment.
Uh-huh.
And she suggested like going and looking at how he's done that in the past. I've been in a couple of hearings where he's fabulous at it. So it might be a good idea to like review or sit in on one of the county meetings coming up. Chris Robinson.
When he speaks.
When he receives public comment, he kind of does a really good job of making people feel like they're being heard. You're not just sitting there and staring at them and going, okay, next.
Right.
So,
you know, and that's one of the steps, too, is a PR firm is in the drop plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they could maybe be very helpful.
With messaging.
Yes, and practicing. Okay.
These are just some of the communication things we've been talking about. Steve and I are attending the Utah Water Users Conference next week, the 22nd and 23rd. So I think that'll be a great, Weber Basin will be there, a lot of the other water agencies. So I think it'll be a good time to catch up with everyone and get a pulse on how everyone's feeling and what they're doing. Phil Bondurant called me the end of last week and wants to talk about doing, we talked about doing a Summit County Water Forum or a summit, if you will. We had an initial meeting with Weber Basin and the Sewer District this week, and we're now looking at a May 3rd date, I believe, for doing this kind of forum, and we decided that the easiest way to incorporate the water agencies in a collaborative, collective way is if we kind of center it around the master agreement and what we've done with the regionalization in the basin, because each of us are, you know, governed differently, our rates are slightly different. You know, it's hard to find a real cohesive Park City's messaging is going to be a little bit different on drought because they're not as tied to Weber Basin as we are. So Clint's going to be asking for a different thing from his customers than we will be. So what we thought would be the best starting point is to talk about collectively what we've done as a group in order to plan for these things. I think a lot of people, how are you planning for growth? And when are you going to, well, we have Weber Basin. We could like start there and paint a picture. We're going to have Weber Basin come. Darren Hess is confirmed. He will be out of town, but he'll have one of his representatives. So we'll put the map up. We'll show, you know, this is the area that Weber Basin takes care of. And then we'll each talk to a little bit about our operations, and then we're going to talk at conservation in a general sense, like what are the top three priorities in your organization to help deal with conservation. We know we're going to get growth questions, so we'll have to be mindful of how we answer those. But I think it'll be, you know, Park City is really interested in doing it. Clint and Jason Christensen, he's their water resource manager. You know, maybe we have a new general manager by then. It will be us. We've put it out to Summit Water to come attend. Weber Basin will be there, and then the sewer district will be there. So it'll be all the parties in the regionalization agreement. So that has been changed. Like I said, May 3rd is the date, so it'll be a little bit later, which I think is better because it's more on people's minds. While we are getting the messaging out early, everybody in the Snyderville Basin will be thinking about irrigating in May. We have the Everbridge system that I think we can start getting communications out to customers pretty easily. We'll use our social media sites. We'll also leverage Summit County social media sites. I think regular presence is going to be required with KPCW and the park record. PSAs we were doing last year, recording PSAs, getting on the radio with Leslie Thatcher. We talked about those targeted communications and door hangers, phone calls. And we want to start meeting in April with some of the larger water users, parks, schools, HOAs, property managers, getting in front of them and letting them know what those restrictions are going to start to look like. And I'd also like to create a dashboard on our, you know, on our front page or somewhere easily that we can show where we are with the drought, and then we can also kind of show where our customers are, you know, meeting those targets. So I think that will be really helpful. So that's kind of what we have planned.
Yeah, that's a really good plan.
Okay, thanks.
I have a conflict.
Okay, with which?
So I won't be here for the next board meeting or those hearings, unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm gone for the whole second half of April and first week of May in South America.
Okay.
Woohoo.
Peru.
Peru. Cajamarca. Sorry.
That's okay. We'll miss you, Ian, but...
I might have single, depending on where I'm at, but I probably won't.
Okay.
You're just the world traveler this year.
But don't they operate in, like, East Coast time, 1 hour ahead?
It's not that far. It's not that different.
It's East Coast time there. Yeah.
East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, because Ecuador's mountain. Well, Galapagos is mountain, and then mainland is central. And then Peru is,
okay, so back to the agenda.
So we've got that in here.
Do you want to talk about it?
Level 4 objective, which is kind of sounds like But we do, that's the first bullet, is contract with an advertising agency.
If you want to do that. I don't know that we're actually at a level four right now, so I mean, we haven't done that.
But it, yeah, and then to go through, I don't know, do we have to advertise and go through procurement?
Well, it depends on how much.
But are you talking about an advertising company, or like I was telling you here, that it's called Strategic Communications now, not PR?
Yeah.
So you're talking about a strategic communications firm?
Yeah.
Because they may just tell us what advertising we need to do. And
not so much advertising, but I've used these guys before.
Mm-hmm. And messaging.
They're worth their weight in gold.
We've used them at Rio a ton with a bunch of very EPA-type situations, and they're really good. Mm-hmm. They can keep you on message and keep you out of trouble.
And they can handle the stuff like setting up a hotline and responding and you know, really being the point of contact for everybody, you know, other agencies. And
well, they go out there and they get ahead of it by what they call strategically monitoring social media, so that they know what the buzzwords are that are out there and who's opposed and who's not and all this other
stuff. Like when somebody wants to start a union and they look for things like living wage.
But they used to call this stalking, but now they call it strategic monitoring.
We can probably do that through an emergency procurement, so I don't know if we have to go through a qualification.
But it's just something to think about, because
well, if you have any firms that you know of, I mean,
Jacobs does that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Jacobs does
that? Yeah. I mean, if you could talk to your project manager and see if they could dial into something like that. Or you could even give Scott a call and see if he could help you out with that.
I've used this outfit called the Langdon Group.
The Langdon Group.
TLG. The Langdon Group, yep. And they've done a lot of work in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake had to basically go from $9 a month sewer to $30. And, you know, and to bring this. But they could be, and that might even be something that we could all share as part of the, you know, the Summit County Water Forum could.
Yeah, by then we'll definitely have, you know, we'll be in the period of the 30 days. So the information will be out there. I will make a note to start looking into that.
Okay, that's good. Thank you for coming back to that.
Sure.
And so then after that, you have the drop plan in the packet.
Yeah, I just had it for everyone's reference. I believe I sent it out also.
Yep.
With the email or with the letter from Weber Basin.
Okay. So this is a nice summary. So then your next one was we're going to look at a work session for impact fees.
Yes. So we as a team, we've been looking at getting our impact fee facility plan going, and we're getting some information from Doug's working on getting the demand side data for us. We've internally been looking at throwing around some different ideas on timing of scenarios for this treatment plant expansion, the potential for some more source development for a well. And so we've had some internal discussions. We've come up with a few scenarios that we're nailing down, but what we would like to do before we go into that work session with you on the IFFP, we thought maybe we could bring in two board members to sit down and kind of go through it with us before we present to the full board. So we were thinking about doing that probably the beginning of April sometime, I'm thinking. The first or second week in April before our next board meeting. So I just wanted to get a pulse on who might feel or be available, two of us, to help go through that.
I would volunteer for that since I won't be here.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So, yeah, count me in.
That'd be great, Ian. Anyone else?
You can count me in. I'm pretty familiar with the whole impact fee process.
Okay. Great. Okay, good. We're putting some scenarios together next week, and we have this model that we've developed that we'll kind of play around with a little bit, but put, you know, inputting assumptions and timing of projects, and I think it'll be a fun exercise, and it'd be nice to have other people's feedback. Okay, cool. Other than that, I did a press conference on Wednesday for rain barrels, so you can purchase your rain barrels. That is open now until Earth Day, I believe. You have like about a month. We've had really good, I think I have already 20 rain barrel people have signed up for 20 Mountain
Regional. So are we signing up through Mountain Regional? Oh, that's great.
Well, we have it on our website, and then it goes to the actual rain barrel customer, or the provider, IV Rain Barrels, and then you sign up on their site, but I confirm that it's a Mountain Regional water customer, so that we're giving that subsidy actually to our customers. And then, it's been a great program. The people there, and a lot of cities across the Wasatch Front are participating, Mill Creek City, Salt Lake City. There are a lot of new cities doing it, and they've had a huge, huge, huge response. So, and then the Pine Meadows, just a quick update there. Dave Thomas got me an agreement, and I'm working on putting the numbers in that agreement. I've been talking with Brody Blomquist and Eric at Pine Meadows, so I want to get a draft over to them to get their feedback, and then I'll plan to have it at the April meeting for us to look through and get approved. So that
the agreement covers what?
The agreement is this kind of 5-year interim agreement while we're putting the.
So it's not covering the engineering that you were talking about. That's separate.
I don't know how that's set up.
No, this is just this is just the wholesale water delivery.
Oh, okay, that agreement.
Yeah.
What we'll charge.
And then we're yeah.
Okay.
And Sam and I are working with Bowen and Collins on the engineering evaluation. Right. That's all I have.
And just one other thing to add: finally the treatment plant. Subdivision plat got recorded today along with our deed to get the property from Promontory to us. So at long last, we own the ground
there
at the plant.
Years ago, I guess.
Yeah. Is there another... are we going to be addressing the credit card maximum amount?
Yes.
Under a different...
Yes.
Okay,
very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Okay. Dave Thomas. He's not here tonight.
Absent.
Okay.
So.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
We just need to. Well, I'll let you do it, Mike. But we need to. I think we need to. All of those positions need to be appointed.
Yeah. Okay. So right, it is our annual meeting where we elect the members of the. You know, for these roles, is there any interest in anybody to be the board chair? I'm open to somebody else.
To nominations?
Yeah,
and the nomination.
To nominate you.
Second that.
I think that's how it went last year.
What's the term? When does the term start?
It's an annual. This is an annual position.
Yeah.
Your term as a board member is a 2-year position.
But when would the chairman... So does it start on January 1st?
Or 4?
Yeah.
If we
allow... No, it starts April 1st.
Yeah, April 1st. Okay.
Is it 4 years?
Yep.
Yeah.
4-year term.
Oh, okay.
I'm in my second.
Okay.
I'm willing to be considered for chair. Mike and I have had discussions about this week.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
Okay. Yeah, I think Karen would do an excellent job. Actually.
Yeah. She would.
She did a great job at the personnel.
I've been doing it for 5 or 6 years. And
it's at least 6.
Yeah.
Because you took over after Chris, right?
Mm-hmm. Got 3.
He was only here a year of my term, so yeah, it's at least 6.
Yeah. So, okay, well then, let's vote. All those in favor of Karen?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, it was unanimous.
Yay! I'll say yay until I'm like having to talk to people on the radio about drought restrictions.
Okay, so now we need a vice chair. And the floor is open to nominations.
I would throw in for that and switch up from where I've been.
Okay, I think that makes sense.
So I'd nominate Ian.
There you go. Are there any other nominations? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that was unanimous. The Audit Finance Committee Chair.
I think that's always yeah.
So
I mean, honestly, you need kind of a special background for that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you should have the skill sets that only you have.
Okay. So there is there a nomination for our?
I'll nominate Karen for that.
Chair. Okay. Any others?
Chairman Karen.
Hearing none. All those in favor of Karen Wilson for the Audit Finance Chair. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Now, what's this next one? I don't know.
The Conservation Chair? That's just all of them. Oh, yeah, the Audit Finance. That's just the Finance Committee is everyone. So you can skip that one.
It's all, okay. It's de facto, yeah.
And then we're going to need a new Conservation Chair because that was you, Ian.
It was.
Are there any nominations there?
This is going to be, the conservation is going to be a big issue.
Can you dual role?
Yeah, and I'm going to become ineligible to be a board member anymore come December.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I don't want to take anything on that. I mean, I'll do a personnel thing, but
I would volunteer to stay in conservation and dual role.
I think that makes sense. I think that's really strong.
Because that
all goes together really nice. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, any other nominations? Hearing none. All those in favor, Ian, for Conservation Committee Chair, say aye.
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 Okay, we need, that was unanimous. We need two board members for the Personnel Committee.
I will volunteer for that.
Okay.
Because that's, you got two of them on already.
And I'll nominate Joel for the other.
Okay.
Yep, he's good.
Any other nominations? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of Tim and Joel for the two board members on the Personnel Committee, say aye.
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 Okay, that was unanimous. So I think we're there for the district clerk. Do we need to... Isn't it
automatic? It's just the automatic. GM and then the treasurer is the CFO per our bylaws.
Okay. Well, congratulations, you guys, and thanks for your service to the county.
Hey, thank you for a very long tenure.
You don't have anything to do anymore, Mike.
I've got stuff to do. So, I really enjoyed it. It's a great learning experience.
You're going to come here and try to drag the meetings out longer.
It's been really one of the best things I've got to do. We've just learned a lot working with some great people. Yeah. Really enjoy it a lot.
We've enjoyed having you. I know we've been on almost. You started on the board about the same time I started with non-regional.
Okay. Yeah.
So we were both new. So it's been fun. It's been
it great. Does. It takes. You know, it took a couple of years just to get my feet underneath me.
Yes. So.
Yeah. Okay. So then it looks like we've got to approve a credit limit.
Yeah, there should have been a sheet included in everybody's packet that just detailed out each employee kind of their group and what the credit limit
is. In that table, did they have a spot in there that was just generic general manager? Because I think you had surnames in there for in the titles.
You know, Scott would take it off. Right. So I don't have one in there for him.
Should we have a general manager stuck in there for when the new general manager comes in that they have that limit?
Yes. And normally it was 5,000.
Yeah.
I don't know what mine is. Is mine?
You're 2,500.
Yeah.
Oh, then maybe that was 5. I know Scott's was 5,000.
And
we generally try to keep it under the $100,000 limit, and that should still be okay, even with adding that.
Oh, yeah, we've got
plenty. We probably should, so we don't have to revisit it again.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah. And I also made a typo in the agenda. It says Wells 1. We've changed to Zion's Capital, or I don't know what their credit card. Zion's First National. So that's a typo that needs to be corrected in the.
With the amendment motion. Of adding a general
manager.
So
can we get a motion, please, to add the GM and then approve it?
Yeah, move that we adopt these values in there and add the general manager for $5,000.
Second.
That was Tim and Karen. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Thanks, you guys. Annual Administrative Control Board training. Dave was going to do that tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to postpone
it.
We had it
Tuesday, and so we'll reschedule that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for May.
For May.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else there on legal? Okay, hearing nothing. Let's go around the room on department updates. We'll go the other way.
Okay. My first question was about the Summit Park flood. So is that something that was I saw it in your report, and then of course it was in Chris's report too. So was that something that was our fault, and we have a claim against the?
It's not our fault. They don't, and that's why we have the no fault clause in our insurance, because they can't. We don't really have the liability. We can't predict when a line's going to break like that. But that's where part of our insurance is we pay a little extra premium and have the no-fault, which will cover expenses up to $5,000 for a customer.
Okay.
So this is the claim I do file with our insurance. The insurance understands it. I explained that to the customer. So as they were hiring disaster cleanup or whoever, they knew you don't want to probably spend more than this because you won't get reimbursed for more than that kind of thing. So that's usually how those work. Because if they want more, then they have to prove liability, and we have it's hard to prove liability for a water district on a water line unless you're quite negligent. Because insurance companies can never insure every water line through the water, which would be too crazy.
And I know some customers in the past have been pretty upset with that process. Was this one pretty good? Or?
He was pretty good. We'll work with him. Fortunately, his damage was more cleanup than really damage, because even though it flooded a basement, there wasn't carpet, it didn't get the contents. So it was more cleaning up, painted like more of a tile type floor.
Sweet.
And okay. Stuff like that.
And this was last weekend, but Brian had some great photos in there. And then Chris, on your report, you had something about lead and copper pipes. Do we have any lead pipes here?
So the EPA is coming out with a new lead and copper rule, and so we're trying to get out ahead of it because it isn't completely defined yet. And one of the first tasks is for any water entity is to inventory for that. We feel pretty confident that the chances are we have very few, if any. What I was referring to is the tools to be able to complete that inventory. So we don't think we have many. If we do, it's going to be in the older homes. That's part of what we're going to do is use the tax records from construction, essentially like when homes were on the tax records, to be able to figure out when construction was, to be able to say, okay, well, after 80 whatever, there's no way you had lead pipes prior to that, and then we can cull it down from there.
And then are copper pipes bad?
I don't know how the rules are written, Sam.
So, lead and copper were grouped together historically in the EPA rules just because they're both an indicator of how corrosive the water is, basically. So, now there's more a renewed focus on health-based effects, especially as that relates to lead. That's where this new initiative is coming through in identifying and replacing lead service lines. So, lead and copper go together in rule form, just there's no health-based rationale behind that, I guess is what I would say.
So you're mainly concerned about the lead pipe?
Yes.
It's just the program is called lead and copper.
The greater rule under the EPA is called the lead and copper rule.
Yeah. So it's...
Does it flow down through the state somehow to us, or are we responding to an EPA?
No, it's going to come down through the state.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's part of what we're waiting on.
The lead's in the fixtures, too, and it's in the solder. We don't really have lead pipes. Leaded bronze or something like
And then my last question was, if we don't annex the TCFC parcels into the district, who's on the hook to service them?
That's up in the air. Right now, it's some water. So what it boils down to is a bunch of little pieces of the used to be called the RPVMA, CVMA, I think is what it's called now. Yeah. It's all these little landscape pieces that are, you know, basically road frontage or road islands in there on Canyons Resort Drive, you know, the little beautification pieces that aren't within the subdivision plats for Grand Summit or Sundial or whatever, right? It's all these little pieces that are stuck out in the middle of nowhere that those entities have watered on their own over time, and now the CVMA wants to encompass all that stuff into one piece. So
that's, we talked about that last month, but I was interested in, I thought it was just one parcel. Are there more? Where is this update?
It's kind of, with Scott being gone and waiting on the drought stuff from seeing what Weber Basin was going to do, we kind of let it sit for a little while. We haven't responded to them since then. We told them that there was probably going to be a haircut and new landscape would not be much of an option.
They haven't reached back out to us about getting the annexation done.
Yeah, they haven't reached back out to us either.
Did they file an application? Mm-hmm.
They have not filed the application.
They're just kind of.
Yeah. I think they were just talking about it, maybe potentially happening, but it's nothing formal yet.
Okay.
Okay, that's it for me.
Mr. Schofield?
Glad Sam's here. For lots of reasons.
He's been so quiet.
I'm passionate about Summit Park, obviously. So the waterline project has been put off. And the tank well. The tank well, I got more. It sounds like there's some utility issues. Yeah, take as much time as possible, obviously, get that straightened out. What was the rationale on the waterline one?
The waterline project, I'm actually more frustrated with the tank piece, but the waterline project, I think the main issue there was a coordination effort. It is a collaborative project with Snyderville Basin.
Yep.
And in the past, it was a three-way collaborative project between Mountain Regional, Snyderville, and the county. And the county managed the project. They had a framework in place that worked. There's a leadership change at the county, and they no longer wish to participate in these projects moving forward. So we kind of picked up the ball in an effort to keep them going. We still have a lot of needs at Summit Park. And Snyderville Basin agreed to partner with us, which is great. So we can only get in road once, you know, for the customers instead of all the utilities coming in through different times. So as part of that, using a new engineering firm, having a new framework, I think it ended up causing project delays to the point where Snyderville Basin wasn't comfortable with how aggressive the design schedule was, which I think is fair.
Yep.
So I think in the future, this really your project will kind of have this framework in place moving forward. Everyone will feel comfortable, and we kind of have an annual schedule we can all operate around. But that wasn't the case this past year, and I think it caught up to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the first time with like a new kind of structure. So
yeah, I think that's really
this will be the groundwork for moving forward.
Drove the schedule, and there's actually the silver lining. I think is I was able to learn a lot from Snyderville Basin and kind of seeing the different approach and how they laid up frame three throughout the year. So I think we can apply that on our internal projects moving forward too. I want to put a little update in our quarterly capital project update next board meeting, kind of outlining some of those lessons.
Cool. Right on. Thank you.
Yep.
Lisa, congratulations on Cody. Thornton.
We got Cody. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He starts on March 30th.
That's a great asset. I mean, it's got the perfect resume, all trained up, right? So yeah, congratulations.
He's a great hire. So I think,
yeah, awesome.
Glad he accepted.
And then, yeah, I love the photos that Brian put in. That hydrant one blows me away.
The car?
Were there rocks by the fire hydrant?
So we'd actually, that fire hydrant has been hit several times.
So you put the rocks there.
So yeah, so the last go around, Dixon, when they were doing, they piled this massive thrust block of concrete around the base of this hydrant.
Yep.
And then the rock was nearby, and it was like,
I'm going to pull that over here. And he grabbed it with the hoe and moved over in front of it. And so when he came around the corner and saw the car on top of it, he couldn't believe it. He's like, it worked, you know?
So one of our employees pulled that rock over there?
Uh-huh, yep. When the last fix went in 2 years ago.
If there's a reason for a spot bonus, I think that's it. I think it was the St. Moritz break that we were talking about, was the photo that Brian had of the pipe that was broken. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that galvanized?
I think that's spun cast iron.
Yeah, I think it's cast.
I mean, it's cast iron, but I think it's all...
Is the whole neighborhood that?
This one. That chunk is...
Other than the pieces that have been fixed through time.
Yeah, there's... I mean, there's everything that's come apart. There's... Yeah.
Well, yeah, great job. Yeah. I mean, that looked like a massive leak, so... That's it for me.
Very good. Thank you.
So I'm going to give you an opportunity to vent about the tank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
there was an engineering company that went out there and kind of pulled together a feasibility study. How much is this electrical going to cost? Do we know now?
Yeah, we've wrapped our head around relocating the electrical. I think we can still make a site plan work, even with the utility relocation.
What about the cost, though?
This is on the order of magnitude of $30,000 or so. So not insignificant, but you know, it's manageable. And I think another tack that we want to take as a district is be able to take care of all the site and utility relocations this year, and then in order to just turn a clean site over.
But that tank wasn't. It wasn't like a splitting the hair on the feasibility and cost or anything. That's an operational need there, right?
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
100%.
So this isn't like putting it over the top where no longer the lines are crossing?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, the total cost on the tank project was, what, $1 million,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been using $1.3 million as a tracking number.
Okay.
We'll receive an updated cost estimate too when we get to our 100% design.
You think that was a miss by them?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, there's no overhead power around there, right?
There is overhead power.
Oh, so this is some other kind of...
It's underground high voltage, so... Hmm. Yeah, you know, we would hope that all the utility research effort would happen at the very front end of the project. And... the survey and blue staking and field research did not find this underground line. However, they did find it getting as-built information from Rocky Mountain Power. So the phasing of getting that as-built information back was the nail in the coffin, I think. I'm delaying the schedule, and it's frustrating, but...
But at least you found it on paper and not with the back of the
line. Absolutely.
Heck yeah, that's what I'm
could have been worse. Yep.
And I think honestly, schedule, just the nature of the market right now, the way the project was going, schedule is dragging, it's getting aggressive. Okay. So it was kind of the nail in the coffin, I would say.
But that's a great lesson. Last year about that. There was talk of they didn't have an easement for that. But we still have to pay for the moving it, even if they didn't have the easement.
We get to pay to move it.
Yes.
Provide them easement. We get to do all of it.
Probably because you're dealing with this utility in other places.
Yeah, they.
Are you kidding? In Promontory, it was the worst. I mean, we probably had like 5 years of meetings about like the very end of Promontory, like moving the power lines, like, you know, foot over, and then, you know, we got a bid to underground some power lines, and they said, oh, it'll probably be like $500,000, and then they were like, oh, did we say $500,000? We meant $5 million. And it's like,
something over $500,000, right?
Yeah.
And the last question I had was on the solar array. Did we actually find some funding for that?
No, and that I had a crap moment that today I realized that I hadn't finished the RFP for that one. So just
the RFP, is it for funding or is it for construction?
It's for the whole thing.
So you're going for sort of like a soup to nuts, someone that can bring it in, finance it, or find funding for it and build it?
Yep.
Okay.
And based on what we've heard, that's possible.
Yes. We think it's possible.
We think it's pretty possible.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, very good. That's good. That's really good stuff going on the tank. And I started doing title reports, and the title companies will go in and find all of the easements,
all the encumbrances on it.
Yeah, and they're not that much.
That's good.
And then if you get those original easements, then it will define who has to do what. See those originals, what they've got.
That's good. Have you ever run into a situation with Rocky Mountain Power where there isn't an easement in place, but they feel they have a prescriptive easement with their infrastructure? I've just kind of written that off as an uphill battle for us to, I don't know, escalate that. But
right, and it's like you're working with them in other places.
That's the problem, is that if you get into a situation where we say, we have you dead to rights here, they're going to say, you're right, but not in the 50 other places that you're being right. It's like dealing with the railroad.
There's only one line.
But it'd be interesting to see what that, you know, there's like a couple hundred spots.
Very true.
That's why I want solar panels.
Okay, well, if there are no more questions on the department updates.
Can I just say one more thing? It was really amazing, all the bills in the legislature dealing with water conservation.
Yes, it was. We went from the year of no water to the year of water.
Yeah, I enjoyed this summary.
Yeah, and Dave sent me another summary. He was putting one together for the Utah county, state counties, whatever association he's with, but hit on the same points. Like there, it was a huge water bill year.
Yeah,
and I think the lead, the testing for the schools and daycare facilities is great. That's been trying to get traction for a while, but just because of the sense of urgency now, everything is starting.
And the flip the strip stuff. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they got a lot of funding for that. Well, the ARPA dollars now that are coming in, and all this infrastructure, the IIJA funding that's coming in. There's just a lot of movement now that can happen with some of these things. So, it's nice that Utah is getting serious.
Yeah,
it's now required in the general plan for counties and cities to have water, basically like a conservation plan. What are you going to do in your general plan? And then one of the other ones, that was notable, I guess, was the, a capital asset management plan now is going to be required for all state and federal funding. So they really want to get to what are you doing to maintain your systems?
Yeah.
So that's good.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody. Thanks to the board and the staff for all the effort and hard work. It's going really nice. So
thanks for your leadership.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll be adjourned at 7:51.
All right. Thanks, Mike.